If you have a Bible, if you'll turn to John 15, we'll look at the vine and the branches in Luke chapter 15. And when I got into this not long ago, I realized that it's gonna take a while to get through chapter 15. And so I thought, well, I'll do this part today and we'll come back to the rest of it later. But it's the story that you're familiar with. So let me read this text in John chapter 15, verses 1-5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned for greater faithfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. So Jesus continues, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Those are simple, powerful statements. And even that one little zinger there at the end when Jesus says, and what a great reminder, for without, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I know I believe it, and I found that to be true. Jesus frequently used agricultural imagery in his teaching. And on this particular occasion that we just read in John 15, he told his disciples, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. But he didn't pull this imagery out of thin air. The prophet Isaiah had spoken of Israel as the Lord's vineyard. So this idea of vineyard and the fruit and the vines, this goes way back into history. And so as we get into this, the prophet Isaiah spoke of Israel as the Lord's vineyard. God expected his vineyard to bear fruit, but it produced nothing. If you read, that's for something you can read later. It produced nothing but worthless grapes. So in contrast, the Son of God came as the authentic vine, perfectly obeying the Father and revealing his will to the people. And every branch in Jesus that does not produce fruit, the Father removes. And every branch that produces fruit, the Father prunes so that it will produce more. Every branch that he just mentioned, every branch refers to Christ followers, because they are in Christ, and being in Christ, they are connected to the vine, which is Jesus, which feeds the branches, which is us, and the gardener tends to the branches, that's God. God's goal for every one of us who follow Jesus, his desire for us, is to increase in fruit bearing. And the fruit we're talking about is God's work in our lives to transform us, to have the character of Christ, to be like Christ. A couple things. Encounters with Jesus can begin the change you might be looking for. An encounter with Jesus certainly is the catalyst for something to change. But it's on us then to abide or remain in him, and that's where this is sustained. I'm using both words because abiding and remaining are really the same thing. And so I'm just make it easier for you. I'm just using both those words. Actually, makes it easier on me. But abiding and remaining, that's the key word here for us. We're going to abide and remain in him because that's what sustains us. And then what does it mean to abide and remain? Here's just a simple definition. To remain means to dwell, to remain, to stay, to continue to be present, to continue in relationship, to endure, to accept, to wait, to suffer, to submit to be faithful to. That's what it means to abide and remain. And those things are where we are going to experience that. He's the source of the power of all things. And we're very fortunate here because we get to see that happen. When we talk about our clinics, when we talk about the locations, You know, most of you know the story, but a great deal of that, we didn't go after it. We didn't chase it. Some things came to us. And what do you say when somebody comes along and says, we have a church, we think you all can do a good job, we're gonna give it to you. Oh no, we'll pray about it, we'll call you back in 6 months. No. Or a clinic says, will you just please take this clinic? We love what you all do, and you can do it in Midtown. Good people down there. And those are examples. I use them all the time. I know you've heard all that, but I'm just not tired of saying it yet. And so that's our story. And that's what I think about when we are as a church family, when we are abiding and remaining in him. And basically, we're just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the author, the perfecter of our faith. We're going to abide in him, and he's going to sustain us. And to abide in him and to remain in him means we're going to continue to show up to the word, show up to the opportunity to pray. We're going to continue in healthy relationships. We're going to endure to accept. We're going to wait sometimes. We're going to suffer sometimes. That's part of being human. But the beauty of all that is, and those of us in the church that have been alive long enough to have a good old dose of some pain, not just once or twice or three or five or 50 or 60, you know, if you've had an experience with pain and you are the one of the branches attached to that vine called Jesus, you could tell a lot of people right now, we could say, I didn't think I was gonna get through that. I didn't think I was gonna live through that. It was the worst experience of my life. You can say all these things because we encounter moments that are just difficult. All the more reason that we're ready when difficulties come. The Bible tells us they will. So what do we want to do? I'm gonna dwell in this. I'm gonna remain, I'm gonna stay, I'm gonna continue. I'm not gonna let anything take me away from what God has already done for me and what he wants to do continually. Abiding in Christ is the foundation of bearing fruit. So how do we abide in Christ? How do we remain in Christ? A couple of things. It really starts when you make a decision that you're going to give Christ your life. It's a full surrender to Jesus. Full surrender to Christ. It means somewhere in the moments of your life, if you haven't had that experience before, it can happen. It can happen any time of day or night, any day of the week. When suddenly maybe a light comes on and for whatever reason you have been touched by something and it didn't go away quickly. It just is sort of, I think those of us who might be touched when you hear children sing or children quote scripture, or what they have the kids doing in our rooms, that can be right there enough to say there's something special in this moment, not just maybe a child or a young adult. There's something special here. Because God seems to be in this place. And we want to be surrendered fully to Christ. And we have to ask ourselves occasionally, I have to do the inventory. Is there anything I'm holding back? I don't know why I keep getting that question in my mind every now and then. Because I think, oh, what am I holding back? Just tell me. Is there anything, though, that we know? If we sit still long enough, if we ask the Lord, Lord, search me, know me, see if there's anything in me that offends you. It's a beautiful statement out of the scriptures. When we can basically just be still long enough to share God our thoughts and sit still long enough to let him begin to bring things into your heart, mind, or soul. And maybe just directing you to a Bible verse that maybe you memorize it as a kid. Or maybe it'll be days or weeks or months or years before something happens that you've been praying for. It's worth the wait. So how do we abide in Christ? How do we remain in the vine? He's the vine, we're the branches. How do we do this? Full surrender to Christ. And let me tell you what, that's not a one and done deal. Yes, I made a decision to follow Jesus, and in that moment when I went, in those days, you came to the front of the church at the end of a worship service. And I went to a church where if nobody came, they kept singing. I mean, singing and singing and singing, and I'm beginning to sin, not sing, by saying, somebody please go up there so we can go have lunch. So deeply spiritual, isn't it? I've told you some of those stories before. In student camps, we go to youth camps, you know, and they'd be waiting for all these kids to come down to the front, come down to the front, come. And then we do it again. This is how carnal I am, and I may still be there. I'm not sure. But a bunch of us kids said, let's just go down there and get this done. So we went down and got saved for the third, fourth, or fifth time for some of us. But that's fine. You know what? I'm glad that bunch was singing. I'm glad they were waiting. And we may have gone down to that altar for the wrong reason, but it had an impact on us. And clearly, I can't tell you what I had for dinner yesterday, but I'll never forget when I went down front of a bunch of people with the wrong motive, and God showed up. We want to remain in Christ. We abide with him. We spend time with him. We pray with him. We study God's word so we can learn from him. God is offering us so much more than we are typically willing to accept or pursue. And that has been true in all of our lives, mine and everybody's. God always has so much more in store for us. There's so much more he wants to do with us, do through us, which is really where it gets exciting, nerve-wracking, but exciting. When God says, there's something you need to do, and I'm going to open this door for you so you can do something that I need you to do. And we walk through that door saying, I don't know that I'm qualified. And God, to me, when I've always used that line, he'll go, I know you're not qualified. I'm going to help you. Go ahead. Let's do this. And if you do what God nudges you to do, it always goes well. God is offering us so much more than we typically are willing to pursue. When I was going through this text this week, the analogy came to me was an owner's manual of a car. And, you know, because I like cars and all that. And I've never, ever, to my knowledge, I mean, my memory, and of course that could be a problem, I don't ever recall reaching over the glove compartment, pulling out this thick book, you know, they're like this, and trying to read through it in advance. Wonder what all this car has in it, you know? And I don't even look at them anymore. I think some friend of mine has a car and it's all online. You got it. They don't even have a book. They don't even print the book. But until something happens that isn't making sense when I'm driving this car, so what do we do? Finally, okay, give me the manual. Go to the back page, the index, and try to figure out how do you get mirrors to unfold, to go back out. I found a button that made them go in. So in other words, there's so much in that manual that would tell me about how to operate the automobile, whatever car we're driving. Now, yeah, you can get in, you can start it, you can put it in gear and all those things. You can use the horn. But there are times something happens and it won't work right. Something isn't working for you in that car. And you have to stop and you have to read the owner's manual. And I always, when that happens to me, when I've got to pull the book out of the glove compartment, it reminds me how often I would do pick up this Bible and say about the same thing. I don't know how to do this. I'm not sure what's wrong here, but I've heard that if I read this, it'll tell me. It'll get me pointed the right direction. That God's not mad. God just wants us to have the best. And it's all right here in a Bible. So we remain in Christ. We abide in the vine. Jesus, again, is that vine. We're the branches. And to dwell, to stay, to continue, to be in relationship, to endure, we do that with full surrender to Christ. We spend time in prayer with Jesus Christ, and we spend time with other believers who inspire us. Other believers who are patient with us. Other believers who love us. Other people around us who helped us see Jesus. I'll never forget those people. They're heroes in your life. Dallas Willard, of course, is one of my favorites, and he has several things to say about abiding and being connected and remaining in Christ. A couple of things he writes about this. He said, fruit shows when life is sustained by grace. Our fruit shows when life is sustained by grace, God's extraordinary love for us. Ordinary words and deeds become acts of Christ-like love. And then he says this, the fruit of a Christian life is this. Here's what a Christian life is characterized by, a transformed heart aligned with God's will. The Spirit's character shining in us and then through us. A life immersed in grace I love the acrostic there for grace: God's riches at Christ's expense. I'll never in a million years understand why some people can call themselves a follower of Jesus. They've been in an altar, they went through a baptism and all those necessary good things that we do. And yet you encounter people occasionally who are the most unkind, bitter people, maybe sometimes jealous of something or someone else. I just love this phrase Dallas uses. He just says the fruit that's going to be going to come to fruition on those vines, the vine and then those branches, it's like being transformed. It's like aligning your heart with God's will, the Spirit's character coming through us, a life immersed in grace, a posture of trustful abandonment to God. I love the way he uses words. A posture of trustful abandonment to God. The pattern of Jesus' lifestyle lived out in our daily practice. And it's not hard to learn what those things are or where to find them. They're in the Bible. And frankly, you probably find most of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, get into the book of Acts. In other words, if we're going to dwell and remain in Christ, in that vine, and stay attached and connected to the vine that gives us branches a hope and a good life, if we're going to do that, we must be willing and consistent to pursue him, to be with him, to love him, to be the fruit that he wants us to have, he wants us to be. Galatians 5 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And it's ours by staying connected and remain in the vine, Jesus, because he wants us to have the same things. That's why sometimes he has to prune the branches. We're the branches. And you know, there are things in our life that feel like you're getting pruned a bit. You're learning something the hard way. You've done something you regret. You've said something you shouldn't have said. I mean, the list is long, of course. The fruit of the Spirit. Here's the fruit that's going to happen. If you will trust God, if you'll remain in him, if you will stay in touch with him, if you will stay connected to him through the branch, to the vine, these are the things that will come out of your life. Love, joy. I'm going to read it again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I don't know about you, but I tend to pray that a lot because I think there's something there that I need to remember every day. Fruit, you know, has three basic characteristics. The fruit in your life should reflect Christ. His attitudes, his actions, his character. That's part of Galatians 5. And the second thing, a characteristic of this fruit is that fruit is visible. In other words, if you're on the branch connected to the vine and you're remaining and abiding in Christ, fruit will be visible. Now, we don't try to make sure we make it look visible, particularly when we are pretending that there's certain kinds of fruit in us that really aren't there yet. We just want people to think they are. That's called fake it till you make it. And there's no need for that. There's really no need for that. Fruit is visible. And I'm not trying to suggest we ought to act necessarily different because it has to come from within. But an authentic follower of Christ is a visible follower of Christ. Now that may not mean it may mean you maybe carry a Bible. It may not mean you're gonna stand up and try to talk to a bunch of people. Maybe God's given you that and do it if he does. It just simply means that every day, I just wanna be an authentic follower of Christ. And whatever Christ wants to do with that, I say, we all say, yes, Lord, here I am. The fruit in our life should always reflect Christ. The fruit is visible. And then fruit is always for the benefit of others. See, God was kind enough to us to help us be a part of the vine. And through that vine, through Christ, then we grow connected to him. And yes, every now and then in this thing called life, we have to prune things up because we know it'll make them better. It'll make them stronger, whether it's a plant or whether it's a person. I've had a tendency to over landscape at home. But I've just got something in me that I need to look out a window and see something green or pretty. And I don't care if it's fake grass. And we don't have any of that at this point. I've really considered it. Fake flowers these days are looking real, let me tell you. Just saying. But we've had this ivy that was there when we got this house, and it's wonderful ivy. It's green year-round. That's what I love about it. It's English ivy. But there's certain pieces along the edge of the patio. There's certain little twigs of this vine that'll come over on the patio, and I don't want them on the patio. I like straight lines. And it's terrible because I've seen it where they're just all over the patio, and it's beautiful, but I'm not into that kind of beauty, so I get down there and trim, and then I'll ask a friend who's good at landscaping. I'll say, how do I make that stop? He goes, well, you really can't, but if you're determined, pick up, or get on your knees and get the vine that keeps moving on you, you know, and you're gonna have to just trace it all the way back to where it's coming from. You're gonna find what it's attached to, that fuels it, that keeps making it grow, keeps giving it water. And I couldn't help but think about that. You know, I live in these silly illustrations because it doesn't take much to get my attention. But it's whether it's ivy, whether it's a tree, whatever it is, every now and then, the best of plants or trees have to be pruned. Why? So they can grow even stronger and better and prettier. Fruit is always for the benefit of others. The fruit is visible in an authentic follower of Christ. And the fruit in us should always reflect Christ. Jesus is our vine from which it all flows. And we are branches. I have a tremendous admiration for a teacher, author. I've never met her. I would love to someday, and we may have a chance, but Priscilla Shire. If you've been in women's ministry anywhere, you've probably read one of her books or watched some of her videos. She's a phenomenal, phenomenal speaker and teacher, preacher. And her dad happens, I know where she got it because her dad's Tony Evans. And so I love that man too. I've never met him either, but boy, he has a way with getting the gospel across the line for me, and I really love these people. So I was reading something the other day, and she was writing about a time that the family moved to a different location. They live in Dallas. So she says this: as her children got older, Priscilla and her husband decided to buy 5 acres of land on the outskirts of Dallas. And one of her favorite things to do was go next door to her neighbor's house, who happened to be her best friend. And her friend happened to have a large pond on their property. They would occasionally fish, the kids would throw sticks in the pond and watch the dog bring them back. One particular summer though, as is typical in Dallas and Oklahoma, they suffered a severe drought. We've had that before. We haven't had it this year, but we've had them before. A tremendous severe drought came through that area there in Dallas. And as she was coming in and out of this new neighborhood where they built a home and they had 5 acres and the lot, they were all 5 acre lots, and a lot of them had ponds. They had dug the ponds out, or just for mainly the beauty of it, or maybe it was already there and they just kept it. But all of a sudden, with this drought, just about 6-8 weeks in, she noticed that the ponds in some of the other homes' front yards were draining. And the water line was getting really low. We've seen that before. But when she'd get down to the end of her street and pull in her driveway, her friend next door, that pond was full of water. So she did what I would do. And she went over and asked her neighbor, "How's that happen?" And the neighbor said, "Well, call us lucky or whatever, but underneath our pond is a spring-fed line of water, and it runs all the time. It's not mechanical, it just is there. They just got fortunate when they dug down 15, 20 feet to put this pond together, they hit water." An internal water reserve that offered continual fulfillment and sustenance and continued nourishment regardless of what the weather was doing. Different ponds in the neighborhood, same environment, same weather, but the pond, that one pond, would always maintain its water level, but never dried up like others around them did. And the difference is this: one pond has an internal supply, the other ponds did not. And I thought of the verse as I read that. It says, "Remain in me," Jesus says, "and I will remain in you." By being a branch on the vine of Christ, we have an internal supply that only Jesus gives us. He's the only one who can give us that. He wants us to have that. And with Jesus, that supply, that living water, will never run dry, ever. So in Jesus, we are the branches of the vine. The vine nourishes and sustains and satisfies us. That vine is Jesus, and his vine will always provide a constant source of nourishment. And if anything comes to us out of this today, it's this: be encouraged. Be encouraged. If you've got a drought going right now in some area of your life, it will come back. The water can come back. The good can come back. The healing can come back, whatever it may be. But I just fully believe that if we will stay attached to the vine and trust him for sustaining us, we will become more like him in over many ways if we will let him. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and after I pray, in all of our locations, all of our rooms, the prayer teams are going to come to the front of the room that you're in, and then as people, after I pray, as people are leaving your room, feel free to come to the front of those rooms. We'll pray about anything that's on your mind today. It may have nothing to do with anything you've experienced sitting in one of our rooms or in church, whatever, but we want to be available to you. And maybe you're in a season of drought. We'd love to pray with you about that or what else might be on your mind. So we'll be there for you after we pray, okay? Let me pray for us and then we'll go. Father God, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of understanding such a simple example of a vine and a branch. And just as you make that all work when we see a tree that's been planted and begins to grow, you're showing us that we can have that experience, that we, if we connect to the vine and stay connected to the one who made us and the one who loves us, we too can be a branch on that vine. And we will be cared for in good times and bad. There'll be seasons of growth and seasons of pruning. But Father, how we thank you for your offer to help us every day learn what it looks like to follow you, trust you, and love you. And we say this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.